Now, the European Commission has approved $2.6 billion of aid for member states, including Greece and Italy, that have struggled to cope with a surge in the number of migrants.
Yeah, so tens of thousands of migrants arrived in Europe by sea this year alone, with the International Organization for Migration estimating that 2,000 have died so far attempting to cross the Mediterranean in this particular way.
Now, if you were listening to us yesterday, you may remember that news that Alex Giacana, the BBC's Alex Giacana, that is, report from the port of Calabria in Italy. He'd met migrants leaving a boat that had just arrived from Libya, having been rescued by MSF or Médecins Sans Frontières. He came across an 8-month pregnant Christiana and her husband Samuel, and both of them are originally from Nigeria.
Even if I know the water was this dangerous, I would have to take the risk to leave Libya, because it's not a place to stay. There is no law, no security, no human rights, nothing. Anyone can do anything to you. The women get raped. Different things, you get robbed by taxis and suffering everywhere. They don't have rights. They treat you like animal once you're black. It is better for most people to die in the sea rather than to die in Libya, because every day we receive people dying every time. So everyone is ready to take the risk just to get to Italy.
Some very strong words there. So will people such as Christiana, now in what's called a frontline state, benefit from the aid just pledged by the European Commission? Here is Dr. Catherine Costello. She's Professor in International Human Rights and Refugee Law at the Refugee Studies Centre at Oxford University.
We're looking at unprecedentedly large numbers arriving at these states. I'm never sure about the term frontline states, because it suggests that we're at war, whereas what we're seeing is a humanitarian crisis. But obviously, funding is one part of the necessary response to it.
The current policies which exist in the European Union, are they more of a hindrance than a help to refugees who are seeking asylum status?
Well, there's some very useful commitments in principle, and sometimes those are seen through in practice. So, for example, there are very clear rules on the sorts of treatment and living conditions which asylum seekers are entitled to while their claims are being processed. There are very clear obligations to register asylum claims. There are clear entitlements to, say, an interview in the asylum process. And all of those are shared commitments across the EU. I think the instrument that doesn't work is the Dublin system, which allocates responsibility to effectively to the first state in which the asylum seeker arrives. And that doesn't work in practice.
When you say doesn't work, what do you mean?
In terms of allocating responsibility, we know that it doesn't work, because those frontline states aren't the ones that process the vast bulk of asylum claims. So although many people arrive in Italy and Greece aren't the countries that process most of those asylum claims. Germany, Sweden, and so on are still the countries to which most claims are addressed.
That's because most of those who arrive will move on from Italy and Greece to go on to those states.
That seems to be the case. I mean, some do stay, but there is a lot of onward irregular movement. Even before we get into the details of what happens when people arrive in Europe, I mean, the massive shortcoming in EU policy is lack of safe access to asylum. It's the combination of visa policies and carrier sanctions measures that create those conditions in the first place.
But the thing is, any EU politician you speak to will say there are legitimate ways for people to get to the European Union. You'd hear that from British politicians, for example, saying if you want to come to the UK, there are ways that you can apply to come and live here legally.
That's really not accurate if you're coming from what we refer to as refugee-producing countries. I think you'd find it extremely difficult to get a visa to travel to any EU country, and it's not possible to address your asylum claim to an embassy, let's say abroad. And you would, on top of that, without that visa, find it almost impossible to board a legitimate ferry or an aircraft. You know, the cost of a ferry across the Mediterranean might be as little as £50. The cost of a flight from Egypt or Turkey to an EU country was probably between 200 and 300 euros. And we know that people spend thousands on these irregular journeys. So the EU's own Fundamental Rights Agency has recently set out a report which details in just very stark detail the lack of legal routes for asylum seekers. So we basically have an asylum system that requires people to be on the territory, and immigration controls that require people to have visas, and those visas are not available for refugees. So there have been countless proposals. for a humanitarian visa system, which would reduce the need for those dangerous journeys. After all, that rescue at sea wouldn't be necessary if there were safe routes of access to asylum.
We had the case of a lady, Christiana, who was 8 months pregnant, and the husband, Samuel, both originally from Niger, and they'd made it across to Italy. If she has her baby in the European Union, does it make it easier for her to stay in the EU or not?
Obviously, every country in Europe has its own nationality law, but no countries in Europe afford automatic citizenship by virtue of birth on the territory anymore. So the nationality of the child would in likelihood be the one that they get from their parents. It's certainly not the case that having an infant or young children is going to give you a trump card over migration controls.
That's Dr. Catherine Costello from the Refugee Studies Centre at the University of Oxford.